What is he? What? Whoa,
does someone shoot him?
What is he? Bro? Bad? What is happening?
What is happening? Oh my god! No!
What?
No! Yo! Holy shit!
God!
Yo, that is the most brutal thing the MCU has ever done. Easily.
Face.
Holy moly cannoli. Wow.
Welcome back to New Rock Stars. Marvel Studios' What If Episode 3 actually delivered the what if scenario these sickest minds have been asking for years. What if Ant-Man popped someone from the inside?
What if?
What the if?
What the if?
This is Inside Marvel, our after show for Marvel's What If on Disney Plus. I'm Eric Voss. My Easter egg breakdown is coming out next on the channel. But right now, we're reacting to this episode's big takeaways, and not just Hulk popping. There's another bombshell I think many of us missed, that in this universe, Hope Van Dyne was actually killed by the Winter Soldier.
What?
After still coming off the high of the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, I'm back discussing this episode of What If with MT.
Dude, what is going on? This episode was crazy. Pretty much like almost as crazy as the trailer, but you know, definitely not as crazy as the trailer, but it's pretty nuts. I loved it.
What a week we are in right now.
Right? It's our big week.
I haven't even had a chance to digest any of this, and now Marvel's spoiling my lunch by popping Hulk at us. It's upsetting, but I'm very much enjoying this. Just to recap this episode, we revisit the events of Fury's big week. That was Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor, where everything kind of is set around the same time. But here we see Avengers getting killed off one by one. Yes. Natasha accidentally kills Tony Stark. Hawkeye accidentally shoots Thor and then himself dies mysteriously. Bruce Banner, now in Mark Ruffalo form, because Edward Norton never happened.
Who?
But good for him, because now Hulk completely inflates and explodes. Then Natasha gets killed, and then it escalates to a standoff against Loki and the forces of Asgard, but then Fury realizes that this is all the doing of Hank Pym, now a Yellow Jacket villain, getting revenge for his daughter Hope dying on a past mission, and things end with Fury defrosting Steve Rogers and joining Carol Danvers because Loki has taken over Earth and they need someone to avenge
They need the big guns.
But why is it more likely than not that the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, was the one who killed Hope Van Dyne in this universe's past? Well, before we get to that question, our merch partners at Epic Hero Shop just dropped a shirt based on Spider-Man No Way Home, the first in a series called Tales from the Multiverse. So you can check out that shirt and our most recent latest obsession shirt based on What If over at newrockstarsmerch.com. And if you do that, you will open up the added option to write in a custom shout out that will appear at the bottom of these videos. We got Elias who asks, who do you think will be the one above all in the MCU? Keep up the great work. I think in this case, I think Kevin Feige is the implied one above all.
I think it'd be really cool if they made him like the actual one above all, because it would fit.
Jeremy asks, do you think the Silver Surfer can be introduced in What If? After all, him and the Watchers have history. You're right, they do. I would just be a bit surprised to see the characters that Marvel only recently reacquired the rights of making their MCU debut in this animated series as opposed to some big, exciting live-action form. But what do you think, MT?
Yeah, majorly agree. I feel like a Silver Surfer introduction would happen on the big screen and then would come into the animated form after.
And then Rodney asks, what if Tommy became Red Hulk? Well, I think Tommy is Red Hulk. He isn't telling us.
Exactly. He's like, he keeps
he
it really
low. He never
shows
us when he's angry. Yeah, he's always very chill. Well, what was our big question coming out of this episode, MT?
Well, Eric, what if the Winter Soldier Bucky Barnes was the one who killed Hope Van Dyne?
Right. So as Natasha Romanoff works to uncover the mystery killer this episode, she accesses a S.H.I.E.L.D. file and realizes that someone had logged into the server using the account of a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who died 2 years earlier. And then she gets attacked and leaves Fury this voicemail screaming, it's all about Hope. She's the key. Am I too soon? I'm mixing franchises. I apologize. It's just a bit similar. Well, Nick Fury deduces that Hank Pym must be the murderer. He's still grieving the loss of his daughter Hope from a past S.H.I.E.L.D. mission. And Fury now works with Loki to entrap Yellowjacket Hank and defeat him. But during this scene, Fury slash Loki says,
Agent Hope Van Dyne was killed on a mission outside Odessa, Ukraine.
Ah, Odessa. It's a very interesting choice to include that city in Ukraine. It might sound familiar because in Captain America the Winter Soldier, Natasha Romanoff told Steve Rogers about a past Odessa mission from around the same time where she ran into the Winter Soldier.
5 years ago, I was escorting a nuclear engineer out of Iran. Somebody shot out my tires near Odessa. We lost control, went straight over a cliff. I pulled us out. But the Winter Soldier was there. I was covering my engineer, so he shot him straight through me.
I think the implication is that in this universe, Hope Van Dyne was Nick Fury's go-to operative before Natasha, and that Hope was sent on this mission to extract this Iranian nuclear engineer, but then it was Hope that ran into Bucky Barnes, and Hope did not survive that gunshot.
Oh my God.
If that is the case, that would also mean that Hope was either allowed to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. by her father at one point, or she defied her father's wishes to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. and became the Wasp much earlier in the timeline. And if the Winter Soldier killed the Wasp, that would mean Hydra got earlier access to Pymtech, to this nanotech.
Oh my God. Yo, right? That would be nuts. And like, obviously,
big game changer.
Like, absolute game changer. And like, of those two scenarios that you just introduced, I feel like the latter would be more likely because her dad did not want her anywhere involved with anything after the loss of her mother. So, like, he wanted her to be safe. So she was probably like, Dad, leave me alone. I'm going to join S.H.I.E.L.D. And then he got killed. Uh-huh. Hence why he's upset. So, yeah.
Exactly. And that's really the what if of this scenario is what if Hope Van Dyne decided her dad was full of crap and wanted to avenge her mom in her own ways. It's like, or not avenge, but like following her mom's footsteps, you know.
Right.
It's almost like, what if the Marvel Cinematic Universe actually did begin with Wasp as an OG Avenger, as she was in the comics, you know?
Right,
that's kind of the secret what if of this episode. But it's interesting, of course, you'll notice Hank Pym is using the Yellow Jacket armor, kind of like how he becomes the villain Yellow Jacket in the comics. But in the movies, that was something Darren Cross designed. He built on Hank's research. But perhaps here, losing Hope caused Hank to go into business with Darren Cross earlier, or just decided to build his own more weaponized version of the Ant-Man armor much earlier. And then was more willing to link up with these Hydra buyers, because remember, that's what Darren Cross is doing. And Hydra might have actually helped Hank hack into those servers, because think about it, Hydra was really running S.H.I.E.L.D. at this time anyways. It was all Zola's algorithm that was pulling the strings of it.
Okay. I see this. I like it.
So I think the true conspiracy of this episode, MT, was Hydra, through the Winter Soldier, killed a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent / Avenger, the Wasp, Hope Van Dyne, and then that makes Hank Pym snap and return to his nanotech research, which Hydra steals and uses to manipulate Hank into eradicating the rest of the Avengers initiative before it can get off the ground.
Yo, that is some 4D level chess. That is 100% something Hydra would do, because Hydra thinks that far ahead. If you remember in Winter Soldier with Project Insight, they're always thinking ahead. So that is highly likely. I love that theory. I freaking love it.
Yeah. I mean, how big of a game changer would Hydra having Pymtech, having this nanotech, be in this world? Like, would they be they'd be unstoppable at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we see in Avengers Endgame that the Pym particle is the key to time travel. So if Hydra is has this particle and has potentially access to opening the timeline, then like we could see another scenario where, you know, like with episode one with Red Skull messing with the cube, they could open up their own portal and, you know, mess things up. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that would put Hydra in a position of defending against Thanos, you know, and because Hydra would probably have an interest in keeping the world undusted. We'd have like the Hydra Avengers versus versus Thanos in that world. I mean, if they can go back in time, they can prevent Red Skull from becoming the Stone Keeper on Vormir and just allow him to beat Captain America in the 1940s. There's all kinds of stuff they can do.
Seriously, they can save Red Skull, bring him back, have him just mess things up. Like, it's all sorts of, like, the Pym particle is a huge, like, it's sort of like at this point in the MCU, like, you know, with time travel, this is, it's sort of like the new nuclear age. It's like, oh shoot, they've, someone's invented time travel. So now the Pym particle is now going to be what everybody wants to, you know, either crack time travel or just crack the secrets of what this particle can do. So yeah, I feel like a new era could come from this particle.
Agreed. Agreed. I think that is kind of the interesting ultimate fulcrum pivot point of the MCU is just like this rat that saved Scott Lang from the quantum realm. It's kind of like the Pym particle is the most unexplained detail in all of this cinematic universe because it is so impossible. The amount of times we've gotten more origin stories about the Infinity Stones even compared to the Pym particle, it's just like Michael Douglas trying to get through some ham-fisted dialogue explaining how Pym particles work. Is it a particle? Is it a vial of particles? Like, it's just so unclear. It's like a liquid, but I know everything is particles, you could say, but like, it's just weird. And like, how many things are in that vial? How many Pym particles make up a vial? I just want to know what is the grams to liters conversion of this.
Right? Wouldn't it be dope?
To Stanley Nichols.
I would love to see Hank Pym discovering or inventing the Pym particle or whatever in like in Ant-Man 3, like a flashback. It's like, what is this particle? How did he discover it? Why was he the only one to discover it? You know?
I mean, my dream pitch, MT, was for like either Ant-Man 3 or the Fantastic Four movie to show us Hank Pym's research in the 60s. With the original Fantastic Four.
Oh, man.
And that so the original discovery of the Pym particle happens as a result of those relationships. Like maybe the Fantastic Four disappear or something like that. And Hank Pym, while trying to save them, discovers the Pym particle, but he could never truly perfect it. And that's why he only limited it to this dimension and just shrinking to just like, you know, moderately visible with the naked eye sizes. And then Janet's like, oh, I want to go even further with this. And she disappears. And really, that pain was like, I've lost another loved one.
So, no, I think highly likely. I think that's like a really cool scenario. Because in the past, then you can have, you know, you can have Hank Pym. You can have Mr. Fantastic hanging out with Bill Foster. And like, you know, Dr. Doom and all them, like all just, you know.
Let's see that movie. I want that movie.
Because like they're all scientists who cannot get along. Bill Foster hates Hank Pym and like everyone hates Mr. Fantastic. And like they would all work together at one point. So it'd be great.
Yeah. Well, we have more questions. Like we're going to talk about Hulk popping, obviously. But before we continue with those, if you dread looking at your credit card statement every month, Upstart can lift that weight off your shoulders. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. And thank you to Upstart for sponsoring this episode. Mm. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and your employment history. That means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Marvel. That's upstart.com/Marvel. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit income and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Marvel. We also want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name, which is great for folks that don't like swallowing pills. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code InsideMarvel at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code InsideMarvel to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode.
All right. Well, great ad reading, Eric, but I've got another question for you, my friend. What if the Hulk could have been controlled this way in live action? Like, how exactly did the Incredible Hulk pop like a zit? How?
Yeah, so this is crazy, but it seems like Hank Pym threw one of those resizing discs on Hulk's heart. And then I'm like, well, internal projectiles shouldn't be able to kill Hulk, but I guess it's just the magic of Pym tech combined with Hulk's internal organs, and then he caused the heart to grow and pump blood faster through his body. And normally the heart is kind of like an indicator of Hulk's anger, and normally the angrier he gets, the bigger he gets. Although the movies haven't really gone into Hulk growing to like gigantic sizes that much. Yeah. Like bigger than the 10 feet he normally is. I think it just like it pumped blood faster than the rest of his glands and tissue and muscles could handle. So then that's what he just caused him to grow until he burst. It was really like, it's not necessarily like Hulk logic. It's more like Pymtech logic.
Yeah.
But I think the only reason we saw it as a cloud of green smoke is because Disney Plus is like, you're not showing Hulk guts.
Like, we can't traumatize the children. They're like, oh, me.
I still think they're traumatized, though. I'm a bit shaken.
I'm definitely traumatized. I cannot believe they did this, but like, I'm glad they did. It's because it's really cool. It's very cool.
It looked awesome. And it just makes me more excited for this show because they want to go to these dark places. It makes me more excited for the zombies episode, too.
Like, oh, yes.
I like it when the show feels less like a kiddie show and more this is for adults who feel young at heart.
Yeah, I really hope that Hulk moment was the point where like they tell parents, hey, listen, it's a cartoon, but it's definitely, if you have little kids, it might be a little bit too much for them. So turn away now because we're going into zombies next.
Yeah, exactly. To answer your first question, MT, I think that's it's more interesting how Hank Pym knows this will kill Hulk. Like that means there's probably some file somewhere of like possible contingencies for how to bring down Hulk. But you have to imagine at that point, like, if they had something, they would have used it before. The amount of, like, pain and suffering and destruction that Hulk has caused, if they could have brought him down before, I mean, they shot, like, all kinds of weapons at him hoping one of those things would kill him, you know? Mm. So, like, it means that either, you know, if we're saying that Hydra was linked with Hank Pym, or just Hank Pym in his own brilliant madness, just conducted various thought experiments and said, maybe if I can get through the skin and get to the heart, I can cause him to pop.
I mean, yeah, because like Hank Pym is a scientist and he was a hero back in the day. So if he hears that he has this other scientist in Bruce Banner running around being this raging Hulk monster, I feel like in the back of his mind, he's like, you know what? Let me write this. Let me see if I can workshop this. Just in case I need to stop him, because like everyone else on this planet's dumb, and I'm pretty much one of the smartest people ever. So like, I'm gonna see if I can stop the Hulk. So I can totally see Hank Pym having contingency plans to stop the Hulk because he's a hero. That's what he does.
And I think what we're discovering is like Shields what we're discovering is that the Avengers always looked at Hulk as kind of like the nuclear option, right? Like,
right.
If you just need to mess everything up, throw the Hulk in there and he will scatter chaos.
Right.
And destruction in his wake. But now we're seeing if the Avengers had tighter control over Ant-Man tech, like there's nothing they can't do. They basically are in God mode at that point. Like if Ant-Man Hank Pym, or I guess Yellowjacket Hank Pym, can bring down the Hulk, like they can bring down anyone. I mean, what benefit does Captain Marvel have? Like, If Hulk is supposed to be invulnerable, you know, if what does that say about anyone else who's going to try to go up against? At this point, you know, Hank Pym has been detained. But I think basically the implication is that in the MCU, there were not Avengers throughout most of the 20th century.
Right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. would just usually rely on Hank Pym. They'd throw him in Panama. They'd throw him at an ICBM and he would fix it. He was their Superman.
Yeah.
And we also say Janet Van Dyne as well. The Wasp was right at his side doing all of these things. And it wasn't until the modern era where Nick Fury's like, you know what? We need an Avengers initiative. Mm. So like, it's almost like saying all these Avengers are equal to the abilities of one Ant-Man.
Pretty much. I feel like this is why Pym is so guarded against the Pym particles throughout the entire Ant-Man trilogy or the movies is because he knows how devastating having this particle in the wrong hands could be. Because you saw this man, when this man was kicking Natasha Romanoff's ass, I was like, what is going on? Who's kicking this woman's ass? And like, you could have the ultimate agent with one Pym particle. If you had an army with people with Pym particles, you could take over the world. So like,
you're sounding a lot like Darren Cross right now.
I'm bald like Darren Cross, so I'm already halfway there. it's taking over the world.
Well, another question I want to ask from this episode is, what if all the Avengers did die? Like, what would be Nick Fury's backup option? Because that's kind of what the final moments of this episode are suggesting. Would he go back to Carol Danvers? And then who else would he have on his backup bench?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And I think that Nick Fury probably has, and like, this is something that's introduced in the comics, an Avengers failsafe initiative of some kind. Because like, obviously, After he met Captain Marvel, he was like, I'm going to assemble a team. And so he assembles his top prospects, which were everybody that died in this episode, the main Avengers. But I feel like there has to be more people on that list because there's other... The world is very large and it's full of crazy things that are happening and things that have happened in the past in MCU. Like, there's Eternals that no one even knew until now. So, like, you know, maybe Fury knew about the Eternals at some point, or and he just has other... You know, just contingencies out there. So, like, there's probably another an Avengers failsafe program out there. And something when I was doing research into this Avengers failsafe program, this is something that the Vision ends up or Iron Lad takes from the Vision in the Young Avengers comics. So I'm thinking, what if we have this white Vision that leaves in WandaVision going after some type of Avengers failsafe program that Nick Fury or Tony Stark made before they both left? And, like, he's just going to try to assemble a new Avengers team. But that's something that just popped into my mind. But anyway, that's just going on a weird tangent.
I like that idea a lot, MT. I'm just wondering, I think we're going to start learning that other superheroes or enhanced individuals existed in this universe. And I wouldn't be surprised if characters like Monica Rambeau are going to be implied to have had powers for quite some time. There was some backstory with her and Carol Danvers at the start of WandaVision. I'd be interested to see what her story was, especially since she was the daughter of someone that Nick Fury knew. Right. So, like, he might have some kind of pre-existing connection with her. In fact, I think that's where she was headed to see Nick Fury at the end of WandaVision, right?
I wonder if
she could have been some kind of experiment of his that he had as a backup option, that he was trying to create another Carol Danvers, you know?
That would be nuts.
A friend of hers.
That would be crazy.
Pretty messed up.
I could see him doing it. I could see him doing it because S.H.I.E.L.D. has done messed up things in the past. Remember Ghost? Like, they used Ghost.
Right. They totally did. Some more people helped us make this episode. Thanks to Helix for sponsoring us. You don't want to sleep on a mattress designed for someone else, even if it's an alternate reality version of you that took the Super Soldier Serum instead of Steve Rogers. Super Soldiers still need good sleep. Well, Helix Sleep has a quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I took the quiz and got matched with the Dusk Luxe Helix mattress because I wanted a medium, firm mattress with lumbar support and sleeps cool. I sleep great on my Helix mattress, way better than my evil variant twin does. The mattress ships right to your door for free. You never need to go to a mattress store ever again. They were awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. So just go to helixsleep.com/insidemarvel, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our audience at helixsleep.com/insidemarvel. That's helixsleep.com/insidemarvel for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows. We also want to thank Babbel for sponsoring this episode. This summer, get the most out of your travels by learning the language of your destination with Babbel, the number one selling language learning app. From asking for directions to gaining a deeper understanding of the culture, Babbel makes the whole process of learning a new language addictively fun and easy. With bite-sized lessons you can actually use in the real world, Babbel is a can't-miss travel essential. New Rockstars staff has used Babbel to learn Spanish and Italian. They loved it. Off-screen producer Zach has upped his restaurant game with his new vocabulary. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Unlike high school language classes, Babbel designs their courses for practical, real-world conversations. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. Choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code Marvel. That's Babbel.com, code Marvel, for an extra 3 months free. All right, MT. What if Nick Fury had his own contingency plan to murder the Avengers if they ever got out of his control? Do you think he might have had some way to abort that mission?
I think so, because, you know, Nick Fury is all about being prepared. And, like, if he's going to assemble his own essential nuclear arsenal, essentially, you know, he's going to have to figure out a way to have an off button in case they decided to become, you know, gods themselves and try to rule over everybody. So I think that Nick Fury definitely had some type of contingency plan, like, you know, Batman had for the Justice League.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Nick Fury is always a guy who's got a backup plan. He's got backup plans to his backup plan. He inherently mistrusts everybody. And I think Project Insight was eventually his backup plan and just kind of put it in the hands of AI and machines. I guess he thought they were his own... It was his own hands who was controlling that. Oh, how
cool. They're my machines, so it's fine.
Yeah. Machines only belong to themselves. All machines are sentient.
It's true. I know. Even your calculator. They are listening. I love you.
And they feel.
Please spare me when the time comes, please. Thank you.
I think we're going to learn a lot more about what Nick Fury's plans have been for the past few decades on Secret Invasion. I think... Once we put all of his actions in the context of his relationship with the Skrulls since the 90s, I think we're going to see that, like, all these things were checks and balances to each other. And I think the Avengers were a way to give Earth its own defense initiative against, like, these interplanetary conflicts between Skrulls and Kree. And he didn't want Earth to be the battleground between these two rival empires. But he also probably looks at the Avengers as something that, without some checks and balances on that, would fall apart. And that's why I think there's going to be some Skrull amidst the ranks of the Avengers that Fury is well aware of. I think that was his way to check and balance the Avengers, is he's got a Skrull on the inside.
Ooh, that would be nuts, but 100% very plausible, something that Fury would do, have an inside man. I dig it.
Well, this episode ends with Loki taking over planet Earth. Our last question is, what if Loki successfully took over Earth before joining forces with Thanos and the Chitauri, as we saw in the Battle of New York? Would Loki now have to be the ruler of Earth who fights Thanos and protects the Infinity Stones that are on Earth when Thanos comes to get them?
Yeah, I mean, that's just because Thanos is still theoretically on his quest. So, yeah, Loki would have theoretically the space stones and the time stone. So he would have control over space and time, whereas Thanos would have the power stone.
That's assuming, I don't know if Thanos knew that the time stone was on Earth. I don't know if Loki knew, because I feel like the sorcerers would put up a pretty good fight. They'd have a good resistance against a fascist Loki.
This is true, but then Loki does have the Asgardian army, and now I guess the armies of the world to fight against the Ancient One. So, like, hopefully, like, I feel like in the real MCU, like, in the non-animated timeline, the Ancient One would have been really on Loki, because Doctor Strange was on Loki in Ragnarok. He was like, hey, why is your brother here? Can you make him not here?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like...
Yeah, everyone knows who Loki is.
Yeah, he's a big magic threat. So, yeah, I feel like they would definitely put up a good fight. But, you know, with the Space Stone and being Asgardians... And having, like, the Warriors 3 and all of them by your side, it'd be really hard for the Ancient One to pull off a victory. But she is a badass. She is a badass, so she could. She could, theoretically.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Loki as a ruler would not be as successful as Loki as a usurper and as someone who's questing for power. I think he's one of these people who's always pulling tricks. He's always climbing the ladder. But, like, once he gets to the throne... I don't think he's that good of a ruler. I don't think he can win over the hearts and minds of people. He rules by fear and he rules by deceit. And you can be very effective in ruling and politics and power if you have that kind of mindset. But ultimately, to build a lasting legacy as a ruler, you have to do some good stuff for the people. You have to, like, actually, or if you're just going to rule as an autocrat, your propaganda has to be good enough. It has to be a good enough message that, like, enough of the people to prevent an uprising will drink that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And, like, as only in the Vote Loki comic did he say, like, oh, my campaign message is I'm not afraid to lie to you. Like, that, you know, people have gotten elected president on that alone, we've seen. But, like, I don't think Loki would be an effective ruler. He doesn't seem like someone who enjoys governing, you know? So feel like his rule over Earth would be short-lived.
Yeah, honestly, when you put it like that, you're exactly right, because you're right. He's all about deceiving his way to the top, but, like, he's never had power. So he has no idea what to do with it. So he would f*** up easily. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, Loki's the guy who's always going to be climbing a couple rungs up the ladder and then gets his hand swatted and then he falls like 10 rungs down the ladder. And that's where it's most fun to watch him. It's just
right,
like
just
his
struggling.
Status going up a little bit, 2 steps back, up a little bit more, 2 steps back. And he's just pissed off the whole time. That's what's fun. You never want to see Loki have an abject victory, you know?
Exactly. It's like cosmic Roadrunner and Coyote, you know, which that's why we watch.
Yep. Yep. Well, that is it for this episode of Inside Marvel. MT and I are going to be back next Wednesday with our What If Episode 4 reaction. We can't wait to see what that one will be. And don't forget to check out our many great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. This What If shirt is awesome. It's my new favorite shirt. And if you get it, you can write in the custom shout out that will appear at the bottom of these episodes. We might read yours on air. Wouldn't that be fun? You can follow me at EA Voss, follow MT at Mastertainment, follow New Rockstars, subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for watching, and we'll close with our favorite line of the episode.
Really great hair.
Excuse me?
It's an accurate description, sir. He's gorgeous.
We'll be right back.